Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all this morning. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to the Gospel according to Luke. We're continuing our journey through Luke. We're in Luke 6, verses 43 to 45. If you're using a pew Bible around you, it's page 863. We're in the midst of transitioning from spring to summer. You've probably all noticed with all the pollen falling around. And if you have allergies, it's an exciting time for you all if you have allergies. At this time, some of the fruit trees that are flowering and getting ready to produce fruit come late summer and fall. In our backyard, we have several apple trees, and the deer love to come and snack on them in the fall and in the evenings, but in the last few years, some of our trees are not producing good apples. Many of the apples are small, they're distorted, bugs are easily getting to them before we get the chance to pick them. Vanessa had a tree inspector come to assess the situation with our poor apple-producing trees, and he gave us several suggestions on how to make them produce good apples again. He said they're not getting good nutrients, they're not getting enough protection from the bugs in order for them to produce beautiful and delicious apples. The fruit that we would get from these trees would be determined by what the tree would be feeding upon and their protection. Today, Jesus is using the illustration of a tree and its fruit, along with the tree and what it's feeding upon to produce that fruit, and compares that to the life of his people. Your life is like a tree, Jesus says. Whatever your heart treasures or whatever your heart feeds upon has a direct influence to the type of fruit that will flow from your life. What you treasure, what you hold dear, whatever you heavily desire will shape your attitude, your actions, your responses, what you do with your time, your thought patterns, the words that come out of your mouth, how you respond to loved ones, and how you respond to enemies. Whatever your heart treasures, whatever your heart feeds upon, has a direct influence to the type of fruit that flows from your life. And so we're asking, is the fruit beautiful and delicious, showing that Christ and his ways are central in our lives, or is the fruit flowing from our hearts repugnant and sickening, showing that we have no interest in the ways of Christ? The fruit of your life shows what your heart treasures. The fruit of your life shows what your heart treasures. What does your fruit reveal? This is what we'll be thinking through this morning as we go through this text. Let's pray and ask Jesus to teach us this morning. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this sermon that you gave on this level plain thousands of years ago. Words that cut straight to our hearts, exposing any kind of hypocrisy. Desiring that people who claim to be your people would produce fruit that would match that profession. Lord, we thank you that you pour your spirit into our hearts and our minds to convict us, to renew us, to revive us, to draw attention to your ways and to your grace. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, to each individual here and listening online, that we would truly hear what you're saying, examine our hearts, and Lord, listen to what you're calling us to change. Lord, we thank you for such love, such grace that never lets your people go, that work that you've started, you'll bring to completion. And we give you praise this morning in your name. Amen. to Luke 6, 43 through 45. Jesus says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and unchanging word this morning. Jesus is saying to his people, out of the treasure of your heart, your mouth will speak. And the Greek word for treasure is the Greek where we get the word thesaurus. It's this idea where when you have a thesaurus, the treasury of words, it's kind of the same word, thesaurus. He says, out of the treasury of our heart, that holding place that we hold on to, that feeds our souls, those things that we long and desire for, out of that treasury of our hearts, our heart speaks and produces fruit. So we begin to ask, what is the fruit of our lives? For Jesus says in 43, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit." What is the fruit of your life? Is it good or is it bad? Is the fruit of your life in tune with, in line with the ways of Christ? For Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." What is the fruit of your life with your interactions with others? What would others say about you that gets to spend a lot of time with you at home or at the workplace or at school? What adjectives would they use to describe the fruit of your life? Another thing to think about, what is the fruit of your life when you're by yourself and no one else sees? What are you doing? What are you thinking? And Jesus is not interested in just an empty morality divorced of himself. What Jesus is challenging you with is the idea of having a living faith, a true faith in him that produces good fruit. For apart from Jesus, he says, we can do nothing good. We need him, we need his sacrifice to cover us, and we need him to change us. In John 6, Jesus would say, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." And the people around him said, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in me, in whom he has sent." That's where it begins. In this sermon that Jesus has been given to his disciples on the plain, they've been hearing the call to be patient in persecution, about loving their enemies, about not being judgmental. And now Jesus wants them to live out those truths, to be good fruit-bearing trees. As one commentator said, the truest profession of faith is the practice of our faith. The truest profession of our faith is the practice of our faith. In Matthew 25, as Jesus is teaching, he's talking about his time when he will return at the end of the age. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in glory with all his angels, he'll sit on his glorious throne, and he will gather all the peoples, all the nations, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates sheep from goats, good trees from bad trees. He will place his sheep, the good trees, on his right side, and he'll say to them, 'Come, come to the kingdom that's been prepared for you for all eternity. Come blessed of my Father. I was hungry. You gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. I was a stranger. You welcomed me. I was naked. You clothed me. I was sick. You visited me. I was in prison. You came to me. Then the righteous answered him, Lord, when did we see you this way? He says, surely as you did it to the least of my brothers, you did it to me. Then those on his left, the goats, the bad trees, if you will, he says, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was all these things. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, and I was sick and in prison, and you did nothing to help. And Jesus will say to those, depart from me. Truly I say, as you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And they go into eternal punishment. Is your life producing a fruit that honors Jesus, that exalts Jesus, that matches the profession of your lips, that shows the world what Jesus is like? Or are you producing a fruit that's not honoring to Christ, that ignores Christ and doesn't look anything like Christ? He's asking us, what kind of tree are you claiming to be? In verse 44, each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes or grapes picked from a bramble bush. What kind of tree are you claiming to be? Are you a Christ follower or not? And Jesus is warning against a hypocritical profession of faith, an empty profession. Believing in Jesus is more than just getting a ticket to heaven that you put into your wallet and pull it out the day you need it, while ignoring his ways of love and truth. A faith in Christ is a living and active faith, a daily faith, a following of Jesus as Lord kind of faith in all of life. Yes, we're saved by faith alone and Christ alone, by his grace alone, but those realities will not be alone. The Spirit of Christ will produce good works in you. As R.C. Sproul would say, Martin Luther said, justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. That is, the only kind of faith that saves you is a legitimate faith, a living faith, not a mere dead profession of faith. If you have faith, even though the works you produce out of that faith don't count towards your justification, nevertheless, they are necessary manifestations of the true faith. That is, if you don't have works, it means you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you don't have justification. All you have is a profession of faith, and all that qualifies you to be is a goat, a bad tree that only brings forth bad fruit. As Jesus would remind us in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name? And then he says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Bad fruit. What kind of tree are you claiming to be? If you trusted in Christ Jesus, you will start to produce good fruit, fruit that honors Christ, exalts Christ, glorifies Christ in all that you do and in all your interactions with others. Yes, you will struggle with sin. Yes, you won't be perfect. Yes, you will mess this up. But the good fruits of repentance and the good fruits of seeking forgiveness will flow to the top. And those are the most important fruits. In honesty, in our relationships with those around us. Great transformation begins to happen the moment we trust in Christ. The Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts and our minds to begin that work of sanctification, becoming more holy, becoming more righteousness, becoming more and more like Jesus. Paul discusses this great change in Galatians 5. We had a whole Sunday school semester on the fruits of the Spirit. He says in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, those who haven't been changed yet, producing bad fruit. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, practice such things, treasure such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, when Jesus gets a hold of you, the fruit is transformed. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you have a profession of faith in Christ, then these fruits will become more and more evident, beautiful and delicious to the world, and honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to feed upon His nutrients. You need to feed upon His Word. You need to go to Him in prayer. You need to be involved in worship, taking the sacraments, fellowshipping with other believers, using your gifts and service, and the fruit will grow and grow. In Titus 2, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. What kind of tree are you claiming to be? And what is the treasure of your heart that's feeding your soul and your actions? What is the treasure of your heart? In verse 45, Jesus says, the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of what you treasure in your heart will come out of your mouth. Philip Ryken, he says, to use a different analogy, the tongue is the sound system of the heart. Whatever is in your soul will get amplified whenever we put it into words. Our angry words come from a murderous heart. Our salacious words will come from an adulterous heart. A complaining word comes from an envious heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you treasure in life, what you feed your soul upon, your actions and your thoughts and words will show it. The trouble we have is we treasure ourselves. Our wants, our kingdoms, our needs, our desires, and anything else or anyone else who would get in the way of those things, we will quickly crush. Just think about it this past week. What treasure or desire in your heart directed what you said or did to your spouse? What treasure or desire was in your heart when you spoke to your brother or sister, to a friend, to a coworker, to an enemy? What was the treasure feeding your heart at that moment? And was it pleasing to the Lord? Think about those interactions. Was the treasure of your heart Christ or the kingdom of self? J.C. Rao reminds us, one simple question must rule. What fruit does a man bring forth? Is he quick to repent? Does he believe in his heart in Jesus? Does he seek to live a holy life? Is he quick to ask for forgiveness? Is he quick to offer forgiveness? These are some of the habits and the fruits of a good tree. What is the treasure of your heart? Is it Christ and his ways, or you? Tony Reichen, he says, we must never forget the spectacle or the treasure that needs to guide us, that needs to feed us. Christ hanging on a cross, held in the air by nails, rejected and scorned by mankind so that he could forgive us and transform us and break us of all the addictions to worthless things. John Piper says, to treasure Jesus is to focus on his majesty, his mercy, his purity, his power, to see and savor the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And if you do that, that treasure will affect your fruit. It's a proper relationship with Christ. And when you get that in line, your desire will become like the psalmist in Psalm 40, verse 8, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance from within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed it. Jeremiah Burroughs, he says, consolidate every display of beauty in this world into one single object, and it would be a great spectacle on earth. And yet it would be merely a faint echo of what it means to behold the source of all beauty, the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today marks Ascension Sunday, a time where we remember that Jesus has ascended into heaven 40 days after his resurrection to take his throne, to rule and reign as king in our humanity. The God-man to rule and reign forever. He is sitting on his throne right now. And the angels are declaring and shouting, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. To him who sits on the throne, the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. He needs to be king. He needs to be treasure in life, in all of things. Is he Lord of all? Or just Lord of this hour? He's Lord of all. Treasure him. We're going to sing, I'd Rather Have Jesus, in a few moments. Found this article, I'd Rather Have Jesus, is a song written by Ray Miller with the tune written by George Beverly Shea. This poem was written in 1922, was left on a piano in the Shea home by Bev Shea, who wanted her son to find it and change the course of his life. The words, I'd Rather Have Jesus, moved George so much and spoke to him about his own aims and ambitions in life. He sat down at the piano and began singing them with a tune that seemed to fit the words, and Shay's mom heard him singing it and asked him to sing it at the church the next day. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Yes, I'd rather be true to his holy name. He says, your life is like a tree. Whatever your heart treasures, whatever your heart feeds upon, has a direct influence to the type of fruit that flows from your life. What do you treasure? What do you hold dear? What is shaping your attitudes, your actions, and responses? What do you treasure? Is your life producing fruit that is honoring to Jesus, that is exalting to Jesus, that is showing your home, your neighbors, your work, what Jesus is like? Or is your life producing fruit that Jesus wouldn't be pleased with? If God's Spirit is working and moving in you now, where you feel that conviction, you manifest that fruit of repentance and faith, and you go to Jesus. You seek that forgiveness, and you say, show me, lead me, guide me. Fill my heart, fill my mind. Help me to see your glory in all things, that it would affect my thoughts, my actions, and my mouth to be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my God, and my Redeemer. What is the treasure of your heart? I pray it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would take these truths and you would help us to understand, that you would speak to each one of us. Lord, we thank you that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. Lord, that you want us to be more and more like Christ in our knowledge, in our holiness, in our righteousness, to be continually renewed in your image. Lord, forgive us where we've fallen, where we've said things or done things this past week that did not reflect your kingdom, but reflected too much of our own little kingdoms. Lord, we pray that Christ would grow in our hearts and our minds, that we would understand his lordship now and forever. That when people see us, when people hear us, they would see that fruit, and it would point them to Jesus. Bless your people, we pray, with these things. In Christ's name, amen.